It's now time for your favorite guilty pleasure.
The E2 Books Show.
Check your innocence at the door and welcome two of the men your mama warned you about.
Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.
Well, Scott, we just finished an episode with one of my favorite narrators, Stephanie Nimmett Parker.
One of my favorite human beings, period.
I know. We seem to have a knack of getting not only people on the show who are not only good at what they do, but are just good to have around people on the earth. Salt of the earth, if you will.
Or any other seasoning of your choice.
Well, right. I don't want to, you know.
You don't want to limit anyone.
Right,
really.
Exactly. I just use salt as my blood pressure can tell you. I'm a big fan. So. But no, it was a great interview. And the stuff that she's done and been a part of is incredible. And I got to tell you, she's been in the biz for 30 years.
Which, how could that be? Right?
I don't understand it.
She had to start at age 3.
Right. Even that's pushing it.
Yeah, really.
No, but in all seriousness, I think everybody will enjoy the interview. So on with the show. Stephanie Nimmett Parker is a Cuban-American audiobook narrator, voiceover artist, and actress with over 30 years acting directing experience. Born in Southern Florida, raised in Georgia and Texas, she can turn on a Southern accent at a moment's notice, and we might ask you to do that too. With a voice that's warm and strong, with an underlying vulnerability that can easily turn snarky when needed, her versatility and adeptness with accents has enabled her to work in many different areas of the voiceover community, from commercials to corporate narration, animation to audiobooks. She was the voice of Omega Watches for over 5 years and has done over 100 voiceovers. She narrates romance, fantasy, young adult, thrillers, cozy mysteries, nonfiction, horror, and memoirs. Stephanie, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome,
Scott.
Snappy.
Off to you.
One thing your biography doesn't say, and I think you want to add as soon as possible, is that you are a dear friend to both Craig and I.
Aww,
I think that needs to go in there.
Yeah. No, it's a mistake on my part. I'm so sorry.
Now I'm thinking about it more, it would probably reflect badly on you. So never mind all that. Let's start with a legitimate question designed to make us all look good, okay? As a professional narrator, you read pretty much every day. Do you ever get to read for enjoyment? How'd that sound?
That was very good,
great.
Scott.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like we knew what we were doing and that we were serious people.
Right.
Almost.
Well,
yes,
right.
I have read my first book for myself in a long time when I was in Greece on vacation. But even then it was hard because I had 3 books to prep. Right. So I really had to work. I'm usually prepping something if I'm not recording. So it's hard to actually read. I do listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Travis Baldry is my go-to, you know, narrator, I have to say, when I'm, you know, just need something just to either put me to sleep or to learn from. Because he has that voice. It's just so deep and resonant. If I kind of put him off to the side and down low, mm-hmm. I'm like asleep in about 10 seconds.
<He's> well, wonderful. Yes, that's both a compliment and yes. Of course, that just gives me more license to hate Travis.
He's so wonderful. I mean, and I marvel at his voices. I marvel at his skill. It's just insane. It's wonderful.
Well, I know that when I'm dealing, you know, trying to read for pleasure or whatever, I kind of feel a sense of guilt almost, because when we do this for a living, there's a feeling like we shouldn't be doing anything else, especially if it's somewhat related. I don't know if you experience that since at all.
I mean, I think so. The thing is I don't really read a lot of romance myself. I'm more of a, for my own pleasure, I read more fantasy and sci-fi and lit RPG and stuff. So it's, you know, different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Was there an author that you have not yet narrated for that you desperately want to work with? And I'm asking for a friend.
I actually am waiting. Yes. For y'all to write something.
Right answer. See, I knew she'd get it.
But like, I haven't been hounding you both. Like, when am I going to get to read something of y'all's? What am I?
Well, we just haven't found the perfect, you're such a great narrator, such a great voice. We want the perfect vehicle for you.
Well, the thing is that I understand your love of the other people, the other women who narrate for you, because I'm also a huge fan of Avon Shore and who just did Beauty Bucharest?
Austin.
Austin, God, I couldn't think. Yeah, Austin. I mean, huge fan. So it's like, I get it. You know, I can't hate because they're amazing. So I get it.
Well, I am writing as fast as I can.
Well, maybe we can, I'm going to sell you on the idea that we just haven't yet felt that we found something that is
worthy of. That's fine. I'll take that. You. I'll take it. Sure. Throw me that bone.
Now, since Craig has also done a lot of narration, in fact, you two have worked together on occasion, you should probably both be able to weigh in on this. It would be naive to think every book you narrate is a Pulitzer caliber novel.
Is it?
How much does the quality of the writing affect your performance? Is a well-written book easier to narrate?
I mean, I think that's a given. I think a well-written book is easier to narrate. I think the challenge comes in, Craig, you can probably agree with me on this, is kind of keeping the frustration either at the grammar or the typos or just the stiltedness of a language and, you know, that trying to keep that to a minimum so that you can actually perform to the best of your ability from what you have. Because you always want to give it your best, right? I mean, you want to make it sound as amazing as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you're right. That is exactly right. And yeah, the trick is to something I guess I learned in coaching that was hard for me to get my head around was that a really well-written book doesn't need the narrator to make it good. Mm-hmm. Like the coach would say, let the story tell itself in this case. But there are books out there that sometimes they do need a little extra help from the narrator. And mm-hmm. so sometimes it's tricky to remember that I end up like inserting myself into a book that doesn't need my help. All I need to do is present what the author has done. But there are other times when you've got to get in there and give it a little extra something.
But
I was talking with Scott about this the other day, it's books that are well-written are also they're easier to read. I find myself making fewer mistakes. And then of course the obvious is just easier to get into and easier to, and more fun to perform. Maybe that's the whole key, but there are certain books that seem to be almost written for a certain narrator. Like I've gone into a book before, like this just flows so nicely with the way I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there are other times when I've read a book like, wow, I am not on the same wavelength with this author at all, and right. I'm stumbling over every sentence, every word, mm-hmm. it seems, and it's just and again, as you said, Stephanie, is keeping that frustration and keeping a fresh sounding tone to your voice can be tricky right. sometimes, for sure.
Exactly. And it's funny you say that, because I literally just had a book that I breezed through, and I'm like, God, this is so easy to read, it's going so quickly, and it was a reverse harem. So I was like, wasn't like I was particularly connected to but it was just so well written and it flowed so easily. And it was like, what? I'm done. You know, it was crazy. Right. It was enjoyable. It was a great experience. It's a great author too. She's wonderful.
Yeah, it really isn't the story per se. You can make, you know, the style and the skill of the writer. Mm-hmm. is everything. And when you have, in your case, not saying this about myself, but in your case, when you have a great narrator reading a great book, the combination is quite magical, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly the word I was going to use.
Of narrating, what are you working on now with narrating? Anything coming soon that you can tell us about?
Yeah, I'm working on another Heather Slade book. Mm-hmm. and Sainted. So that's she has three different ongoing series, and they have everybody connects and interconnects sometimes. So this one I'm doing with Phil Batley, who's in England. Mm-hmm. He's actually on a murder trial right now. Wow. Very hush hush. So we can't do it close together, but so I'm working on that. So I get to, well, I think Scott, you were in there this morning.
I was. It was quite fun. Yep.
Yeah. I have one of the books that's nominated for this, one of these Sultry Listener Awards, Samantha Sabian with an audio books. I have one coming up with her. So that's a lesbian fantasy. That's one of those, like, I never really thought about, it's really a fantasy book that just happens to be lesbian, you know what I mean? Themed, yeah, kind of. Yeah. It's not like it's all about the relationships, and since it's a great fantasy story and world she's created, and it's just, it's a 9-book series, and this is going to be book number 4 or 5 I have coming up.
Wow. So hopefully you've got a ways to go in that then.
Yeah. Well, and I also did a cold outreach to Kyle Johnson about a sci-fi lit RPG he has called Drone Ensign, and it looks very good that I'm going to be doing that one as well. So I have books until January, so I'm very, very happy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and going back to the Heather Slade books, your reading of those books and her writing, it's so good. So, you know, if anybody has yet to check those out, please, please do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love doing her books. They're just, she just has great characters. They're fun. They're not too long. They're like, you know, 5.5-6 hours, suspense, romance. So yeah, they're a lot of fun. And the coolest part, like, you know, Craig, is, you know, they're everywhere. People are from all over the world. So we did Texas accents, you know, I've narrated first person, Russian, Irish, Texan, you know, RP, estuary. I mean, all kinds of French.
Well, you're so good at the accents. You have a number of different. Well, you like them, and you're very good at them. I've heard many of them, and I won't put you on the spot and ask you to do them now. But there, I mean, you have several different English accents. Like I was editing one of your books, and you did the entire thing in the British accent. I sent it off to the proofer, and they said how good it was. And I said, you know, the person's actually American. I'm like, what? What? They couldn't believe it. They thought it was like, and it was somebody who actually lived in England for a while. So they had been there. So they weren't just some, you know, off the street. They had been there and they knew what it sounded like. And you absolutely fooled them. So I thought that was amazing.
You do the Samantha Sabian books. I forgot. You are the editor of those. So you make me sound so good.
Oh, no, I do nothing.
Do everything.
He's so humble.
I know.
So a project that you've been involved with that's getting a lot of recognition in Europe right now is the movie Glass World, which I recently watched. And what can you tell us about that?
That was literally the most random thing ever. I helped out a guy, the composer, Raphael, he knew of me and set me up with another guy who did a movie, and I went in and had to dub one of the actresses all of her lines because her English accent was so bad.
Right.
Because she was trying to be English, even she's Swiss, but she could have just done it in her. It was taking place in Basel here, so it was weird. So I did that, and then I was in touch with Raphael about that, and then he goes, "Hey, listen, I want to do this project, and I don't even know what it's going to be about yet, but I wrote some stuff, and I, you know, can you just read it for me? And then, you know, I'm creating a score and, you know, looking for some video to go with it." And I was like, absolutely. I love doing artsy things. I love doing art exhibitions. I actually have something right now that's up for a Swiss Art Award, which is the oldest art award in the world. The first time it was in 1899, it was given out. So the artist, Dominique Koch, I've worked with her several times before, and she's nominated this year. So I'm super excited about that. Yes. So it was kind of a random thing. And then he just built onto it. So he created then a meditation thing from it and a dance mix, and he went crazy with it. I mean, and I love his score. I think he's amazing. So
yeah, the music's really great in it. The cinematography is pretty good too.
It's really nice. Yeah.
And there's this narrator that I kind of thought was good, but and you were in it too. I
was waiting for that one.
Yes.
Olivia is very good. She is. She's wonderful.
You know, but you talk about, you know, random things happening. It occurs to me that, you know, narrators who are getting into it, into business or trying voiceover people, always wonder like how to find the work and all of it and how things happen to certain people. And I think a lot of it, and I think maybe hopefully you can expand on this, it is just being out there and available. Mm-hmm. Continuing to, you know, put, you know, just be present. And the other thing that I, you know, talk with people who come ask me about in terms of Northern Lake is being willing to do what is asked of you, being easy to work with, and people talk, and word of mouth is huge in that case. I don't know if you found that to be true.
Oh my God. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you say it's a lot about who you know. And in this business, it's kind of hard to get to know people because you're by yourself a lot of the time. But I think that this pandemic really helped bring people together. I know that I met, you know, with you, Craig, and Scott on Discord. You know, we really created a little family there. You know, having an accountability partner is always great. You know, people who are also in the same, doing the same thing that you are, whether it's audiobooks or voiceover, you know, to have people, to reach out to people and, you know, always make sure that you can bring something to them as well. And you're not just asking for things. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing. You know, what can you, you know, if you're looking for this, what can you do for them, kind of a thing. Right. I think that's also important to be able to offer something.
Right. I mean, you think about if you go to somebody's house, knock on their door that you don't know, if you're like, hey, can I have your stuff? It's not going to go. But if you go over like, here's a pan of cookies, the next time you go, here's a whatever, and you build a relationship. And the next time you go, I need XYZ, they're much more likely to give it to you.
Absolutely. You know,
it seems like such a simple concept, but it is. And the other thing I was thinking about is that from meeting people online, I think prior to the pandemic, that was seen as a little weirder. Like you would have to go to conferences, you would have to physically meet them, shake their hand, look them in the eye and do your pitch. But now online stuff, meeting people online or video, Zoom, Clubhouse, et cetera, that's kind of become the norm.
Yep.
Yes. And I think Clubhouse has really opened up a lot. I mean, I narrate there almost every day. I know Amanda Stribling, Sarah Sampino, you know, John Perhala, a lot of people are on Clubhouse also because it's quite easy just to jump in and jump off, whereas Discord can take a little bit of time to get used to if you're not so computer savvy. But there's just a lot to learn. Also, just from listening to people. I sat in with Amanda for an hour today, just, you know, listening to her process. And, you know, you think, oh, okay, she's also struggling with her breaths this week. So, you know, you think, I'm not alone.
Right. You know? Well, that's just is huge when the Discord, the Clubhouse, for people who, because narrators are like yourself are so good and so proficient at what they do. When you hear the finished product, you're like, oh, my God. I could never, ever do that. But then when you go into Clubhouse and a Discord and you see the struggle and everybody's, you know, the process is messy. When they say that you see the sausage being made, so to speak, like, oh, okay. All right. They're not all perfect human beings. You know?
I had someone yesterday say, oh, you mess up so much. Oh, I feel so much better. And I'm like, okay. Yeah,
my favorite thing is like waiting when you've done like four takes on a line, and then you get it right. I usually like to type, this job is easy.
I can't even repeat here some of the things I've heard people say in Discord when they mess up a million times, or stuff that I have said when I messed up. You know.
Yeah.
It's such a great process. What is one thing that you love most about the narration community or the voiceover community, and perhaps one thing that you might change?
I mean, I think everyone is extremely supportive. It is not the same as acting. It is not the same. Voiceover is kind of that in between. I feel like it's in between acting and in between narration. It's not as comfy, cozy. But it's not as cutthroat as acting is, for sure. And you do find your gems, but it's not the same. I think it's a great community, and I think people are very willing to help you as long as you do your due diligence yourself. You know, if you're not coming in and just making stupid comments and asking questions, and that it's you know what I mean? That you could actually do and research. And I think that people respect someone who've taken a little bit of an effort to find some things out themselves, and then they're much more willing to help you. I think if I could change something with the narration, I think it would be, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, you're the first person who's ever even tried. I've asked this of authors about the author writing community, and everybody always skates by that part of the question. And you're the first person to even thought about answering, so I appreciate that. See, I'm always trying to dig up a little dirt, stir up a little controversy. Just, it's for the hits and the likes, you know. The,
right.
The
social media I can say, that I think it's quite, I think it's very difficult to know how to know when you're ready to, let's say, you know, put yourself in front of publishers. You know, there's it's kind of difficult to know when you're good enough. I mean, I have people saying, you've not written to publishers yet. I mean, are you nuts? And I was like, but I've only done, I don't know, 50 books or what. They're like, yeah, but you, so it's that insecurity of not knowing and not having a good kind of a good information from publishers and other people to say, listen, don't approach publishers unless you've done really kind of a, you know, you feel confident, you've got a lot of reviews, you've done, I don't know, 20 books or whatever. Or, I mean, but although I know people who've done 5 and they've done, you know, the next 7 are with pubs. So, right. You know, I've only done 1. I don't even know anybody, you know, so yeah. I think I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's a tricky industry. And you also have 2 different factions going on too. You have the established people who've been around since the beginning of audiobook time. And then you have, especially with the pandemic, a lot of new people coming in, and there's this odd dissonance between the two. You know, some things don't necessarily apply that worked 20 years ago or are no longer true that were true 20 years ago. The industry has certainly changed. On the other hand, you've got a lot of people jumping into it because they think it's easy and they can make a fast buck. And and then the old people who've been around for a while get furious about that. And so it's hard to blame either side. It's just so, yeah, it's tough to find that happy medium and to find out whatever the quote unquote truth is in the industry because it's so fluid and changing. And people's feelings get hurt and all that good fun stuff.
True.
But what is a common myth about your job or field of expertise?
I think, like you said, everyone thinks, that's so easy. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, everyone tells me I have a great voice, right?
Right.
Okay. So, well, you know, like I had.
Can you read the English language? You know, that might come into play.
I mean, when it comes to audiobooks in particular, even voiceover. Yeah. I mean, I've done huge campaigns with Omega and IKEA and lots of big named products, right? And Sensei and all the kinds of, but I just did I'm getting my commercial voiceover demo with J. Michael Collins, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And we were working on just these kind of commercial, you know, just what do you call it? Casual reads. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I really need that many practice sessions? And I was in there and it was like, I mean, I got it relatively quickly, but I didn't have it for the first 20 minutes on those first few. I feel like I'm casual, but then he would get you to a place where you're like, oh shit, that's totally different because things are always changing. They're always looking for something, you know, first it was kind of, you know, this is how things go like this. Which is like small announcer voice. And then, whereas now it's more like, oh God, if I only knew then what I know now.
Different. Right, you know, right.
Different, completely different read. So I think that's one of those things. It's not as easy as it has seemed, as it appears. Right. And I think not to discourage anybody, but it's work. It's work.
Right.
And I always think that the person who said, you know, if you're doing what you love, it's not work. I think that's absolutely not true.
Right.
You're working, but you get to love what you're doing.
Right.
But it is work.
And there's days when it feels like work. There's days when it feels like magic, but there's days when it feels like, you know, you're digging a ditch, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost feel like if the work is too easy, I'm not doing something right.
Right.
I'm not pushing myself or I've become too comfortable. I find myself, fall into that with narration. If I find myself kind of fading out, I got to go back. I just completely lost touch with what I was talking about. It got too easy, or I got too comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's certainly something, but you're right. It's a lot more difficult to sound casual than one might think. Right. I remember when the first time I decided to try to do any sort of voice work whatsoever, professionally or commercially, I got onto a pay-to-play site, and there are all these auditions to do. So I did 100 in a single day. I literally made myself sick. Literally got sick the next day, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be great," because again, people are like, "You've got a great voice." So I did all this stuff, and I'm gonna make so much money. I didn't get a single one. And then I was like, oh, okay, I need to go back to the drawing board. So it was a rude awakening, but you've got to get to that point where you realize, oh, okay, I actually need to stop being so arrogant and figure out that I actually, not only do I have a lot to learn, I know nothing. I don't even know enough to know what I don't know.
Exactly.
And once you've realized that, then you can do the actual work, like get some coaching and practice and learn and all the stuff that you really need to do to make a go of it in the business. But yeah, getting there can be a rude awakening, and it was for sure.
So Steph, what is something, I'm talking personally about you now, that people might find surprising?
I don't know. You know, I always think no one has any expectations of me. So what is there to be surprised about? I mean, but you know what I think people get surprised is that I can't sing.
You keep saying that.
I've heard you sing.
I can sing Happy Birthday pretty good.
That's a damn fine song. So let's not be disparaging Happy Birthday, okay?
Let's just say it doesn't sound as bad as it coming into the ears as it apparently does leaving your mouth, because
pull up a karaoke tune. You could sing now. Would you like to sing for us now?
No.
I won't do that to you.
And I was telling Scott earlier, I mean, I'm like a really big geek. I'm a huge like sciencey math nerd. Like I love to read articles on quantum physics and things like that. So maybe no one knows that about
you've been hanging out in weird clubhouse rooms physics advanced for mega nerds or whatever it was called.
Just follow me into there. That was you.
Yeah. And I don't even understand. I can't even count up to the number of episodes we've done on the E2 book show. I know it's over 5, but that's it. So I was impressed. So that doesn't surprise me at all. I find that incredible. Now, this is going to be the hardest hitting question, not only of this interview, but possibly of any interview you have ever done or will ever do.
Hang on. Let me swallow.
Okay.
Hang on.
I'll give you a minute.
I don't want to spit take here. Okay. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm feeling the weight of this question on my shoulders, Scott. I don't know if I can even. Okay. I'm going to do it.
You can do it. Just do it.
Rip off
for my, do it for my art.
Yep.
If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Okay, this one is super easy because I was just in Texas. So I was at the Waffle House.
Oh, we need to talk about the Waffle House.
And I would order, because you know, I used to work at the Waffle House in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So no one really believes that. That's also something so many people don't know. And I would have an order, so I'm doing it like I would order it, an order scrambled cheese raisin, hash browns, scattered, smothered, and covered, and a waffle with an extra butter and syrup on the side.
Wow. I'm so hungry right now.
That's what I would eat over and over and over. Because you have the salty, right? You have the sweet. You can go back and forth. So you're really never going to get sick of that until probably day 4. Then I'm going to be like,
next question would be, when are you coming back to the state so you can take Scott and I to the Waffle House and order for us?
Is there a Waffle House in New York?
I feel like I don't think so. I think.
Well, PA's we would travel to you.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, I'll next be at APAC, right?
Oh, right. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's got to be the Waffle House. So nothing else is going to do now.
No, not even Krispy Kremes. Even New York doesn't work.
No, yeah. New York doesn't work pretty much in general.
Well, you got to stop electing crooks. That's the first.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Anyway.
I don't even know anything about politics in New York. I'm just going to go with you, Craig. Yeah, get them. Crooks all
get
of
the
them.
Man. Get the man out of there.
Well, our governor just resigned, what, like 2 weeks ago. So that gives you some idea of how well things are going.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not as bad as, what is it? Illinois and Chicago. Man, how many Illinois governors have gone to prison now? Scott, three out of the last four or something like that?
Yeah, or all. I don't know.
All should have been in prison. I don't know. Oh, man. Anyway, this isn't a political show, and I'm starting to get mad. All right. Stephanie, where can listeners find you online?
Like, what do you mean? Like my website or like Instagram or
all of that?
Yeah, super secret places where you upload anything.
Well, you know, I have a TikTok, I have Instagram, I have Twitter. On my Facebook is just like my regular page. Forget the narrator page. It's just all I do. So I basically live in my basement. So that's my life. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a narrator page on Facebook too, and it gets no action whatsoever.
I just never did anything with it. I just thought, you know what? F it. I'm going to put it on my regular Facebook page. It's my life.
I'll write a blog post and link to Craig's narrator page every now and then just so people can go and say, when are you going to update this bitch, man?
Well, you know, yeah, people go there and then they click on the link and a tumbleweed comes across their screen. It's so barren. It's
like, oh my god!
Driving out in the Mojave Desert or something, and there's my Facebook page, sitting alone in an abandoned mine shaft.
Yeah. So,
who are the miner like Jethro and Zeke? That's an inside joke. Nobody's gonna understand that. All right. Well, this has been a great show. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us on the E2 Book Show. I don't know how you put up with this, but you did, and did it with grace and class, as expected, but always surprising when somebody pulls that off.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The E2 Books Show.
E2 Books Show
by Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.